each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome to GIF. Thank God it's Friday, although it feels like Monday. We were just commenting as we entered into the studio. We're going to not waste any time. We're going to pray.
Yes, okay? Good.
We're going to do that.
One of those days.
A prayer. We're going to talk about what is it, why be good?
Mm-hmm.
Why be good? That'll be one of the topics for the day. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, our Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, Son of the Eternal Father,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, formed by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mother,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, substantially united to the Word of God,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, of infinite majesty,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, holy temple of God,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, tabernacle of the Most High,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, house of God and gate of heaven,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, burning furnace of charity,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, abode of justice and love,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, full of goodness and love,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, abyss of all virtues,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, most worthy of all praise,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, King and center of all hearts,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom are all treasures of wisdom and knowledge,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom dwells all the fullness of divinity,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom the Father was well pleased,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, of whose fullness we have all received,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, desire of the everlasting hills,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, patient and abounding in mercy,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, enriching all who invoke you,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, fountain of life and holiness,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, propitiation for our sins.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, filled with reproaches.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, bruised for our offenses.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, obedient to death.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, pierced with a lance.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, source of all consolation.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, our life and resurrection.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, our peace and reconciliation.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, victim for our sins.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, salvation of all of those who trust in you.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, hope of those who die in you.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, delight of all the saints.
Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto yours. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And I trust in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And of course, we pray for all those who... That's a horrible tragedy in Florida, the Surfside, Florida, the collapse of that, those condominiums. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, they said there were 99 people missing. Now they're saying there's 159
wow.
people missing, but... or unaccounted for. Mm-hmm. But, gosh, what a tragedy.
It's weird how those things happen with the sinkholes and everything just comes, you know.
Florida has that, you know, but I don't know that they know that they say that I was reading this morning, just briefly, these condominiums were built in the 1980s, but they were sinking. I forgot how... In other words, they've been sinking. Mm-hmm. Not that there was a sinkhole, but that they've been sinking for the last...
the way they've been built?
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. It might be weird. In Panama City, they got... they've built these high-rises as well, these mm-hmm. hotels or condominiums and all that. And it's they build them on the beach side. Oh. So they're really built on the beach. And I always... find that first of all, I thought they would be, so there's is it Highway 98, I think, that runs the front beach road.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the highway, it's just a two-laner, and then there's a middle beach road and back beach road, so you've got all this but you'd think that when I was a kid, actually, there were some hotels or motels, but they weren't high rises.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got into the probably in the 1980s, they started building these high rises, very tall hotels, but they built them on the beach side of the highway, and it just it you wonder how
it stands.
Yeah, with the Gulf of Mexico, mm-hmm. the sand and all that. I don't know. It just don't know that I want to be in one of those. You know, especially now after. And this wasn't really on the water, though, was it?
I don't think it was. But I know, I remember, well, I've seen when they've had sinkholes like a street or, you know, a road or something where just you see the car, everything just
right.
starts sinking. It's just scary how that can happen.
Yeah. Yeah, Florida has a lot of that,
yeah.
you know, and I remember this just a couple of years ago. I mean, there's entire homes that have been mm-hmm. Sucked into these, you know, the earth opens up
yeah.
and it just swallows these homes. And
that's what I even like when I think of California and, you know, the earthquakes and things like that, the way they build stuff. And then when there's a tremor, you know,
yeah.
things happen like that, and there's slides, you know, where you build like near a mountain where you have to
yeah.
shore it up. It's architecture part of it is just amazing.
Actually, when you think about it, Chicago is kind of a nice place to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
We really don't, although we had those tornadoes in the burbs
right.
last week. But anyway, yeah, who knows, right?
Yeah.
So the question today, why be good? So if somebody were to ask you that, why? Actually, one of the students had asked me that.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just be good? Is it enough just to be good? So what would you say?
Is it enough to just be good?
Why be good?
Or why be good? Why be good? I would think it's written in our hearts to be good, to be, you know, I mean, being good is better than being bad, or, you know, you contribute to society. We look around now, and if everybody's bad, you know, there's got to be some kind of and I think even being good is like when somebody tells you, well, what is being good? Well, maybe what I am doing now, I consider good. And if we leave it in man's hands to decipher what is good, there's got to be that example. You look to Jesus as the example.
Yeah, so people say often, right.
And, yeah. Because I've heard people that Jesus, I don't believe in God, but I'm good.
I'm a good person, yeah.
And you know, it's funny because I know somebody that had that conversation with me, but then I always then say, well, again, you know, the things you may or may not be doing, you know, how do you know they're good? I mean, you know, you might think that even some bad things you do, if done for a good reason, because you're good. You know, it just doesn't make sense. We initially got to the talking about, okay, well, who's your example? And then it always comes to, well, man's my example, like you're, you know, the kid that was saying.
Right.
Yeah, but look what man does, but you just got to be. And I really think more so that it's written in our hearts.
Yeah, would you want to be bad? You know, we all know we're sinners, we're not
right.
perfect. But would I want to be bad? I wouldn't want to be bad. I want to be good, but is being good enough?
Mm-hmm.
So this was an article that, and I forgot who wrote the article, a priest. I was just happened to look at it this morning. I thought on this kind of dreary day mm-hmm. here in Chicago, and it's been a interesting week. I thought this is something a little bit light, but we'll see where it goes. But anyway, the priest woke up. He says, I woke up this morning early as I do in the summer, and I wondered why on earth I ought to be good. He says, really, what's the point? Why would anybody be motivated to be good? I would ask the question, why would anybody be motivated to be bad? You know. But anyway, he said, I immediately thought of some reasons why we ought to be good, and none of them really impressed me and inspired me to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So why be good? And so these were some of the reasons that some of his reasons, which correspond to what you were saying. He says, because if I am bad, I will get caught, punished, and shamed. This is a strong negative reason to behave myself. I don't want to get caught being naughty. What would people think? My reputation would be ruined. I'd lose family, friends, and maybe my job and livelihood. Okay, so I'll be good. Okay, that's one reason. Another reason, because other people expect me to be good. They rely on me being nice, kind, understanding, self-sacrificing, and all that stuff. But do I really care about what they think that much? Maybe not, but I'll be good anyway because being good is easier. At least I won't get in trouble if I behave myself. They'll let me, they'll leave me alone if I'm good. So that's a selfish reason to be good. He says, society tells me to be good. I should be a good citizen and obey the law of the land. My religion tells me to be good. I've got the precepts of the church, the corporal works of mercy, and so I should be good because my mother, the church, tells me to be good. God tells me to be good. He's given the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes. They're his laws. I'd better obey them and be good. So he says, all of that is all well and good, as it were, but it's not good enough. All that really does is motivate me negatively, like Fido, who obeys because he doesn't want to be beaten. Who would beat Fido? I mean, that's, I'm assuming that's a dog, right? So it's a little weird here, isn't it?
Yeah. So, who would beat him? That's not nice.
It seems like he woke up on the wrong side of the bed and really wanted to be bad, you know, this guy, this priest. So, but anyway, he says, there is. This is where so much religion goes wrong. We follow the religion and try to be good and try to be good enough, but we can't do so. But we can't be good, so we fall into hypocrisy, anger, frustration, and we use the rules not only to beat up on ourselves, but worse, to beat up on others and blame them for their failures, projecting our flaws onto them. I don't know that we do that so much. Do you?
I think some people do, but I don't. Like, because we're, you know, humans, that can happen. But
so it says, being good, therefore, too often leads us to be bad, really bad, because self-righteousness and blaming others is the worst kind of badness. All right. I should be good because I want to be good. I should be attracted to goodness instead of being attracted to my laziness. Cupidity. What is cupidity? I've never heard that word before. Cupidity, stupidity, lust, and greed. Look that up.
I'm going to.
Cupidity. I've never heard that. This is just a misspelling or something. It's right there along stupidity. Cupidity.
Yeah, it's just a make a mistake. I don't know. Cupidity.
C-U-P-I-D-I-T-Y.
Cupidity.
It's going to be a slow show.
Scrambled words. No, I don't think that's a word.
Okay, so I don't know how I got in here, but anyway, I'm going to look it up later myself. So he said, I should be good because I want to be good. I should be attracted to goodness instead of being attracted to my laziness, cupidity, stupidity, lust, and greed. He said, sometimes in the confessional, when counseling a young man about pornography, I'll say, pray to be changed on the inside. Self-control probably won't be enough. Pray that your heart, mind, and imagination will be supernaturally changed so that you regard the porn for what it really is, poison for the soul. Let's say you are walking along the street and you are really hungry for lunch, and you see in the gutter some roadkill, an old possum that has been hit and has been lying there in the sun for 2 days. Do your eyes light up and you say, yum, yum, lunch? No.
Maybe some people do. I don't know.
No. You are disgusted, not delighted. So pray that the eyes of your heart will be opened so that you come to regard porn like that decaying possum. Which is a very interesting point, you know. It's an illustration of the inward transformation that is required. We are not only called to be good, we are called to be good. To be good. We are called to be good, to be transformed into children of light, to become incarnations of goodness. All the rules and regulations of religion are simply the means to an end. They are not the end. This conversion is a work of an instant. I'm sorry, this conversion is the work of an instant and the work of a lifetime. If we pray for it, God will illuminate the soul, and if we work for it, we can, by God's grace, make that illumination a daily reality. So, why be good? So that I might become good, that I might become the icon of Christ in the world that I am called and created to be. So that's it gets to the, that's the answer right there. It's not enough to be good, but it's to be an icon of Christ. To say with St. Paul that it's not I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. So anyway, I thought it was interesting, you know. Yum, yum lunch. Why? Wow, that possum dead there for what, 2 days, did he say, in the sun?
2 days in the sun.
I guess we were really, really hungry, but anyway, is the show over yet? I don't know. It's going to be a lazy day. Anyway.
But I wonder, now thinking about what you just read, I wonder sometimes if the solution to all, whether to be good or bad, is just seeing somebody having that guidance of a person that is good. You know, I wonder, when you think of even some of the things that are going on now, and unfortunately my mind is in the realm of looking at our leaders, you know, or our elected, whether it's mayor, whether it's governor, whether it's president, if I wonder if they think, you know, I mean, how am I coming across to Americans? You know, how am I, you know, whether it's a governor or precinct captain or whoever, elected official, how am I coming across to the people that put me in this office? You know, and I break it down that way only because, I mean, and I, are there people that think, okay, I can do these bad things because of a greater good? Or, you know, I mean, when do we, as a people, you know, start thinking about, and I guess it's all, we were talking about fatherhood, and I think this kind of even goes back to that. I mean, if your father, the head of the household, and let's be honest, you know, sometimes there's not a father, but, you know, a mother or somebody that you, that teaches you right from wrong, if we're missing that, a priest, you know, a good priest, if you do go to church or somebody you can look up to, I think that's what's missing. There's so much, and I think that line is getting blurred now because I think even sometimes people, they get, I don't know, tricked into thinking that this is a good thing and it's not. And then you almost have to, you think of any action you do. I mean, how does this affect the whole?
Yeah.
Does it affect me? Does it affect the whole? And it should be affecting, or you should be thinking of the whole instead of, you know, the whole body instead of just one, me.
Yeah, things get a little bit skewed and then they really go off in a wild direction, it seems to me. And I was just with young adults yesterday after the Mass. I met with a group that's really really give me a lot of hope, to be honest. And they were discussing this, it's something similar to this, you know, that and not about just the evil, I guess. Mm-hmm. the antithesis of good is bad, right? And that, why do people, why does government, you know, I grew up, I guess, you know, in a, well, I grew up in a, we grew up in a different era, you know.
And I think that's
patriotism, you know, family. Mm-hmm. I was, I might have mentioned it on the radio yesterday. I mentioned it at Mass. I'd say I was all over the place at Mass. I was just in this fog. I still feel like I'm in this bit of a fog for some reason. But I did mention Sicily yesterday, didn't I? Yeah, but. Mm-hmm. But we were talking last night about now these are very, very young people. So they're in their 20s and maybe early 30s, probably in their late 20s. And, they're really searching, you know, they're, but they see, the bad. They see the evil. Whereas we didn't see it so much, I think, when at least I didn't when I was growing up, because you talk about the people that surrounded you were good role models, parents. I keep thinking of the block I grew up on, or anywhere I went, any place that we were Air Force, anywhere we lived. It just seemed like everybody was basically really good people. You know, we had families were together. It was really, really rare that you had a one-parent family. It was really rare. In fact, I can only I think of one right offhand, but it was just wasn't that wasn't the norm. And you know, so you were expected to behave in a certain way. There was a cultural, religious expectation. You know, you don't swear, you don't cheat, you don't lie, and yet, you know, as kids, you know, you do all those things, but you have a conscience, mm-hmm. and so you. And of course, we all went to confession in those days too. You know, everybody was the confession lines were always long on Saturdays, and in the church, I remember. And so you know, you had a real sense of like I said, like today I say, how do these people sleep at night?
Yeah,
the media people, people in. The Hollywood politicians, you know, and it's not to say, because you still assume that they're, but I guess the bottom line is, and this is what these young people were saying, they recognize the Marxist systemic atheism that is being perpetrated in deceptive ways. They recognize that, but they're trying to determine how to counter this, because they know that many of their peers are very much affected by this and embracing these kind of ideologies.
That's what I kind of see too. I kind of see, and I think I feel so sorry for these young people now. It's just, I sound like I'm so old, but you hear it when you talk to people. I even, you know, I try to, you know, I have my nieces and nephews. I try to have conversations with them, and some of them are, you know, they have that background, what I consider the good, maybe, dare I, you know, pat my own back, maybe it's my influence, or they're just around goodness, good, right. You know,
sure.
But then there's a few that, you know, you hear that creeping in of like, you want to call it socialist, Marxist, whatever it is, the thinking. And it's like, for me, I confront that. I ask the questions, and it's amazing how you kind of get a blank stare because you don't know how to answer. It's almost, and dare I say, if you're, people are tricked into thinking this. Like, I think of all these young, you know, kids who, it's about me. It's about, you know, the newest phone. It's about this. It's about that. You know, and it's, you don't think ahead. That's why when you talk, it was interesting you were talking about how men, you know, see the horizon. You know, you sit and you plan. Maybe it's just a man versus woman kind of behavior, but I feel... Because these are the people, the young, that are going to be the next generation. And although you do hear, too, oh, you know, the boomers, they really messed everything up. Okay, great. What are you doing? What are you doing different? You're actually doing a lot less, you know?
So how did
and you're expecting more.
How did we mess everything up? And, I mean, I agree that there's...
You hear those stories. We're in the mess we are because, you know,
because, you know,
it's easy to blame someone.
Right, and there is a certain we are culpable, I think, you know, in the sense
that
because
saying,
our generation was it was coming out of the 60s and the 70s and all that, where everything was began to really flip upside down, and, you know, free love and and all this, and the idea that I'm not gonna teach my
children or not. I'm going to let them decide.
Let them decide what they want to be
or what religion they want to be, whether they want to believe in God or not. But they don't. Yeah. But they're not they're not receiving any kind of formation. Mm-hmm. So there was a point where, and it really was the boomers, you know, the baby boomers who, generally speaking, chose to be independent thinkers, kind of shake the dust from your feet, you know, the past, rejecting perhaps the faith of your parents I think that the bottom line is what we don't want is the discipline of the faith.
Yeah.
The faith is a discipline, and there are laws that have to be abided by. We have to abide by certain laws, the laws of God. Again, there's a certain behavior today that is so accepted that would never have been accepted, you know, when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just we're kind of maybe all over the place. We'll take a break and see where I'm going to focus on the Eucharist. Okay, after
yes.
we come back.
Good place.
All right, Nick, you can stay over there, right? So we'll take a break, and we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDC.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Koska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night, for your safety. We ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the 3 pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. It's a lazy Friday. Please forgive us. You know, I always had to say that maybe 3 times during the homily last night because I was really all over the place. But I was just, like I said, I was in a fog, and it had been a busy day. And there's just sometimes you want to shut the mind down, you know, right. But you got to keep going.
But things usually, I think being all over sometimes is a good thing.
Because some people it doesn't bother them so much. And somebody came up to me afterwards and they said, you know, it was she was connecting to everything that I was saying, you know, where I felt like I was all over the place.
Because it all does connect. You know, you ask these questions, you know, the questions.
See, everybody's asking the question. And this is no This is just like the young people yesterday, mm-hmm. after I had had the Mass, and I was with them, and it was we were all over the place. But it's like we're grappling at what to do, what's going to happen, where is all this going to go, how do we? As it goes back to that question about being good, it's not enough. Doing good is one thing, but to be good, which means to be God-centered, to allow God to take possession of my life. So truly to be an icon of Christ, not I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. And yet we know that our worst enemy is ourselves, right? Because we have these natural inclinations to be lazy and to be, you know, just the vices, right? Mm-hmm. But if we're seeking Christ Jesus, if we're cleaving to the Lord, I mean really cleaving to Christ, and we see Christ as who he is, you know, God in the flesh who's redeemed us and who remains with us and feeds us with himself in order to reproduce his life in us. If we can stay on that path, then, you know, we learn to seek refuge in him in the midst of all this uncertainty, this confusion, this not knowing where this is going to go, Jesus. Because I hear this all the time. People are deeply disturbed by what they see happening in the society today and in the world today. You know, it's you try to stay away from the news, but you know it's not safe anywhere anymore. You're subjected to all kinds of ideologies, all kinds of, who do you trust, who do you don't trust, you know. But there was something that just went out of my head now, but I think that this wanting to be in the company of others who are, well, like yesterday, okay, so we were at Mass, and I said, you know, we're, because it was a feast of St. John the Baptist, the birthday of St. John the Baptist, and there's only three birthdays that are celebrated in the church. It's the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the birthday of St. John the Baptist, and the birthday of Jesus Christ, of course, on Christmas. Those are the only birthdays we celebrate in the liturgical year. Often with the saints, the saint day is often their birthday into heaven. You know, the day of their death was when their journey in this world has come to an end. And so even as I was speaking yesterday to the people, I was speaking about the fact that we're kinsfolk. So for instance, when John the Baptist was born, you remember Zechariah was. He was mute. He was because he questioned. And when John was born, everybody expected that he would be named Zechariah after his father. And Elizabeth said, no, he will be called John. And then when they went to the father, he wrote, you know, he will be called John, as it was revealed to them. And so everybody was kind of astounded as to what this means, you know, and then, of course, Zechariah he regained his speech. But what's the point that I'm trying to make here? The fact that, you know, we are, I was talking about how these two great men were entrusted to these two great women, the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Elizabeth, who nurtured their life, prepared them for their journey. And I kind of related it to, you know, just the, we don't hear a lot about how they, because we know that it all ended very tragically, right? Because John was beheaded and Jesus was crucified. Well, that wasn't the end because, you know, the crucifixion of Jesus was the door that opens all of us to the fullness of life, you know, to share eventually his resurrection, that there's life beyond this life. But we have to remain in the grace of God. We have to do good, but be good. Mm-hmm. That means to abide in the Lord as the Lord abides in us. So we have to, nurture that intimacy with God, and it goes beyond anything that we can feel, because oftentimes people, they only know the desert or the darkness. And that's why it's so easy to, because it is a narrow path, it's a difficult path, and few can stay on this path. But for God, all things are possible, as Jesus said. And so in God's divine providence, if we but keep the faith, and if our faith is the size of a mustard seed, it'll move a mountain. But we stay in the story, we stay in the story, and we cleave to Christ primarily in the Eucharist, in the Word of God, in the Eucharist, and in the, remaining in the company of others who share the faith. And this is where I think many feel today confused, alone. So use the example like yesterday of the Sicilian wedding, but even there it's all changing, as Pietro, who's working on our floor, said, everything is changing. The change is happening all over the world. To varying degrees, but to have this ability to, in the midst of the difficulties of life, the hardness of life, to have Sabbath, to have fiesta, to properly and rightfully worship God, not for the sake of one's own personal entertainment, but to humble ourselves, to bend our knee at the name of Jesus, in the presence of Jesus, to humbly receive the Lord, knowing that we can't do it without Him. So we pray for perseverance. In humility, we surrender our lives to the Lord, that the potter mold the clay of our lives, so that we enter into that whole purgative, transformative, and sanctifying. The grace sanctifies, purifies, transforms, and sanctifies, so that we grow into our true selves. But we have to be very intentional about that, and not be not just go the way of the world, because the way of the faith is not an easy way. But if we have others with us on that road, then it becomes not so difficult, and it begins to re-identify us and give and will bring some meaning into life. And this is, I think, where so many of the young people are confused, because they don't see, the witness isn't there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not finding people to emulate, or they've been so deformed.
Mm-hmm.
Their thinking has been so deformed, the indoctrination against virtue and God and the commandments of God and the cult of worship, that they've been so so much works against that they almost have an allergic reaction to the living tradition of the faith, which is life-giving, and also not just life-giving. What this would be, it's life-giving because it is about reconciliation. It's about missing the mark, falling, but being able to get back up, and be reconciled, and be restored to that dignity, that grace, and to keep moving forward. We have to carry each other, take care of each other as we make our way through this life. And in the midst of all the struggles and the difficulties, to have the ability to have fiesta, to the Sabbath, rest. And it's just not, I don't think people are finding it in a healthy, wholesome, holy way.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw something this morning that said the clubbing is, you know what clubbing is?
Yeah.
That's in full force now, you know.
See, I was wondering about that too, because with everything closed down, I can't see that. Now I can see that coming back. I can see people wanting to gather and, you know.
Well, see, like you, for instance, you used to like to go to concerts and all that, right? So how do you, you know, it always fascinates me that, you know, when you see these concerts, somebody, mm-hmm. You're just thousands of people there, right. So you did that. I mean, you were part of that, but you still had your faith, and you still
But see, and that's the thing. I don't think people realize. I mean, how do I like live music. I always have, and even back when, you know, I mean, you go for the excitement of whatever it is. It's your favorite group. It's fine, but you know the thing. And I did go one time to something that I felt I should not have been there. I've done that a few times, actually. Just the music, and you get caught up in just the enjoyment of the music, but you know, you tend to see things that are not right, and things that I got the feeling that, oh, this, be careful, yeah. Tony, something is not right here. And you see it. I gotta admit, lately now, I pretty much, there's only a few people that I really enjoy seeing in concert now. But even now with all of this, I don't think I'm going to go back to that. Because I'm at the point now where I'm afraid of people. I really am. I mean, I'm still trying to come to grips with, you know, is this a thing? Is this not a thing? And, you know, hearing one thing over the other, like, okay, don't gather in groups. But gather, it's safe. No, it's not safe. But I think even for me, it's I'm not really interested. They've, in a sense, and I hope this is not the case, but I feel broken. I feel like, no, this is not where I want to be anymore.
Is it because of what's happening in the society?
Yeah. Well, not so much the society, but just the fact that, well, like I said, I'm worried about large groups now. I feel... I don't know what it is. I don't want to be where I can't see a way out. You know, I don't know if it's a weird feeling, like flight. I just want to, you know, see every... But again, like I said, this whole pandemic thing, you know, I'm only one person, but I'm coming to the things that I enjoy doing, which is like sometimes going someplace just for the fun of going there. I don't do. I'm still close to the house. You know, I still feel that... You're under lockdown, and it's going to be a while.
Actually, they were talking about that yesterday as well, about the, I don't know if it was with the young people, but I was talking to some people somewhere. Mm-hmm. There's always stuff going on around, so here, but they, always in conversation with people about this or that or whatever, but it was the same thing, you know, that they said, you know, it feels like this past year has just really the consequences or the ramification of the lockdowns, the wearing of the masks, the conflicting reports, the fear-mongering, or maybe it wasn't fear-mongering, was it true, was it not true? I mean, yeah, certainly the viruses, we don't want to get into all that, but the point is that people feel this a certain exhaustion, like all of a sudden they feel exhausted, completely exhausted, And so there's this, if we talk about being in a fog, this is what, I use that for myself, but that's basically what people are saying. It's like, I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Yeah. I feel kind of depressed. I feel kind of anxious, you know, this anxiety. The crime has skyrocketed all over the place. Everything just feels... out of sync right now, and I don't know what it's going to take to bring things back to a kind of normality. You know, I think about these people who were in the war. I think about this a lot. In fact, I had there's a beautiful article I read this morning too, and it's just too long to read, but it was about General Patton and prayer. Really interesting, but it's very long. It is, but maybe one of these days And it's hard to read because it's print is not so good. But the power of prayer and how he made it a point that 250,000 soldiers said this a certain prayer, you know, at a specific time, you know, and it in the prayer. I don't know if it was was he in Normandy?
Maybe.
I believe it was the final battle of the war, but the weather was going against him and all that. But anyway, but what was interesting was the I think about people who lived during that time when everything was really very different from today. Today is strange because of the technology we've got and all that and what that's doing to our heads. But at that time when there was really world war, and you know, entire towns were decimated and people had to flee and people were in hiding and the genocide and the Holocaust, all that stuff, you know, what it must have felt, what it must have been like for those people at that time. And are we on the verge of something like that? This is what I think many people feel like, that things aren't going to go back to normal because we're on the cusp of something that seems overwhelming. That's a sense I get from many, many people, and the young people as well.
See, it's interesting too. You mentioned concerts, but I even think of, you know, things like basketball and football, which I used to enjoy. I wouldn't waste time watching that.
Politicized.
It's like you killed it for me.
Yeah, really.
That's one of the things, and I hate to, you know, it's not, you know, if somebody's watching a game, I would be interested. Now I've come to the point, maybe it's just getting older, I don't know. I'm gonna choose my venues or what I do with my money. I don't need it anymore. If people are gonna act like that, or you know, I'm the same way. Even with some concerts I go to, if the person is gonna start telling me their views on things, I don't want to hear that. I'm there for the sense of entertainment. If you're gonna tell me your political views, I have no interest for you, and I've walked away from things like that.
Everything has been politicized.
You know, maybe it's just that I'm tired of it, or I'm just waking up. And
you know, I've never been to a concert.
Yeah.
Never. One, and that was in Rome, and this was before the pandemic, because I would go every year, but it was a year that I lived in Rome, and I happened to be walking, they've got piazzas all over the place, and I happened to be walking toward Piazza Popolo, the people's plaza, and as I was walking, I heard this beautiful music, you know, and I thought to myself, wow, that voice, it sounds like Bocelli. And so I crossed over the river into the toward the piazza, and he was having an outdoor free concert.
That's something I would like
to see. Beautiful. Yep. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And then the other nice thing about Italy, Rome, when you're when you're there, is you can walk from piazza to piazza, and they've got entertainment. You know, it could be somebody playing the cello or somebody singing the Ave Maria or whatever. Yeah. It's a very beautiful. I don't know what it's like now because of Italy got hit pretty bad with the virus. And things really were shut down. I mean, I couldn't even imagine what it was like because Italy was, everything was outdoors. You know, people, they have, you know, at a certain time of the day, everybody's out walking. You have to, you can't stay inside. You've got to be outdoors because you got to be, in that sense, with the crowd. But but the beautiful things, you know, you get the coffee shops and you've got the pizzerias and everybody's outdoors.
That's another little thing I like doing, you know, just having, you know, coffee somewhere out. But again, you know, it's like I'm glad the restaurants are still back a little bit, which is better. But I think about all the damage this has done, and maybe it's just going to take a while. You think about war. Maybe this was probably, my eye. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's like a war. You know, after a war, you get back to things, and that things might never.
Or we're getting into a war.
Yeah, or getting.
See, that's what the young people are saying. You know, the fear is because of the violence.
Yeah.
And because of the, cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they call it? Cancel culture and this indoctrination? What is it? The critical race theory.
Yeah.
They just feel that everybody's being pitted against everybody.
That's. You know, again,
and for what reason?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, and we were talking about this, and I think I might have mentioned it on the radio yesterday as well, but all this, defund the police, or we're going to re-image police, or now the indoctrination that's going on in the military,
yep.
That are we purposely creating a vacuum? Because the people are walking. They're taking early retirement.
Yep.
They're getting out of the police force. Well, then you've got to do something. You've got to fill that vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And is that when nefarious forces bring in their minions so
maybe.
That you've got then the state police or a military that has been so radically transformed?
People would laugh at this. They're thinking, oh, you're conspiracy. But you know what? Again.
But it's happened in history.
Think about it.
It's happened.
Yes. And anyone that knows history has a tendency to repeat itself. And no matter how they teach us or revise history, the signs are there. That's why, again, you talk to people who have seen this in their countries and see it coming now, and they're afraid.
Yeah, I do.
They're afraid.
I let me just end with this.
Yeah. Give us some hope, Father.
No, it's I don't know if it's hope, but it's the words that I just want to share it again because I think it's fascinating. Saint Boniface, a careful mm-hmm. shepherd watches over his flock, and we need our shepherds. In her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on her course. The ancient fathers showed us how we should carry out this duty. Clement, Cornelius, and many others in the city of Rome, Cyprian of Carthage, Athanasius at Alexandria, they all lived under emperors who were pagans. They all steered Christ's ship, or rather his most dear spouse, the church. This they did by teaching and defending her, by their labors and sufferings, even to the shedding of their blood. I am terrified when I think of all this. Fear and trembling came upon me, and the darkness of my sins almost covered me. I would gladly give up the task of guiding the church, which I have accepted, if I could find such an action warranted by the example of the fathers or by Holy Scripture. Since this is the case, and since the truth can be exalted but never defeated or falsified, with our tired mind let us turn to the words of Solomon, trust in the Lord and with all your heart, and do not reply on your own, do not rely on your own prudence. Think of him in all your ways, and he will guide your steps. In another place, he says, the name of the Lord is an impregnable tower. The just man seeks refuge in it, and he will be saved. So I guess that's the hope, right?
That's good. Yeah.
Got to stay with the Lord, because he is he's the Lord of history. He knows what's going on. He knows where this is going. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Have a nice weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred, the time is now. The